Without further ado, we will begin, Be'ezrat Hashem, our famous dating class. It's very interesting having a dating class with new faces in class. I don't know you guys at all. We just met today. So, being that it was posted and is on the agenda, and I do know most of the class, so we'll begin. I think the best way to begin is by having an overview and then going into details. So, what's an overview? What we want to cover is when, what, how, why, in what order, to what goal, and then the details of that. So when should you start? Yes? When should a person start dating? What is Jewish Orthodox dating all about? And what are your goals?
This is on the calendar, right?
Yes. How? Well, how do you get a date? And how do you go about dating? There's a certain order. And then, how do you go about moving the dating in the direction of marriage? And then, how do you propose? And then, how do you move from there? And how do you know who is right? Why? Now that's the big one which we really should start with. Why are you guys in this class? And why do you want to get married? And in truth, that's really where we should begin. Maybe we will. In what order are things discussed? What's left for later? What's brought on the table at the beginning? What should be said to the shadchan? So those are all points we hope to cover. And to what goal? Where are we trying to go in married life? What's it all about? Which is maybe together with why get married? So we'll begin with when do we start dating? Tosfos writes that although there are different types of desires, the desire to be with the opposite gender runs a different course than everything else. In a healthy person, it's ever present, and tshuva for one who has erred in that area is gauged differently. Meaning, ordinarily we say, if the guy keeps desecrating Shabbos, how could he eat his food? But this is an area where a guy could lead a completely kosher life, and yet he has a weakness in this area. And he's kosher in everything else. So it's very normal that a person has a desire to be with the opposite gender, and yet a person has to control that. If a person is still having 15 girlfriends on Facebook, so then he has to maybe grow religiously if he's thinking of dating. We had a guy here who came to Machon Meir and said, I'm here for one reason and one reason only. I want to marry a virgin. And I know the only place I'll get one is in Orthodox Judaism. So tell me about everything else, because I want to know that my wife was only with me, and that's why I'm here. He lasted about 2-3 weeks, maybe a month. Tried to get set up during that month, but no. If you're leading a certain lifestyle, he wanted to keep his girlfriends on Facebook, we'll say it nicely, until he found the one who was, pure and ready for him. Very nice. One of the things we're going to discuss in the long run, and in this dating series is different than all its predecessors, is that we're going to discuss where a person ought to be. And this is a gentle topic, and I want to begin maybe by discussing why in the past we did not discuss it, why in this series we will discuss it, and how you have to think about it. We'll take a small example. In the previous series, meaning every year around this time of year, we have a series on dating. Previous years, I wouldn't tell the guys, you know, it's rude to have your cell phone on during a date, and it's rude to have her sitting there waiting for you for 5-10 minutes while you're schmoozing with your friend on the cell phone, because I felt if the guy is such a brute that he doesn't figure it out himself, well, then let her see what kind of brute he is. Why should I tell him common etiquette if he doesn't have the common sense to figure it out? Well, then, okay, so then she should see that too. And part of the philosophy, which we discussed at length previous times, was that dating is about who am I today. We discuss where I want to be in the future, but we also have to be true to who we are today. Whereas all our classes in Mahon Meir are always focused on where do we want to get to and where should a person be, our dating class was always focused on where are you now. Because I think that's a very important part of dating. Oh yes, we share with the other person what our aspirations are, but we also have to delineate, we have to be very clear, where are we now and which part of what we're talking about is where we'd like to be. And that's a challenge. And usually in our first class we discussed how challenging that was. We'll get there. We will discuss that. Bezrat Hashem. But I decided that during the course of the dating, it's up to the girl to figure out who you really are. And just as we study this class, we discuss other points of Derech Eretz and points of what's called being a kind person. So this is a good venue to also discuss what's called being a polite person, a decent person. And being that we don't discuss in other classes that you shouldn't take your spoon and spoon out a piece of butter when you're at your future in-law's house, so then living down here where you don't have knives at every meal, and very often you could take the back of a spoon and swipe up some butter, so then you're going to show up at your kala's house and they're going to look at you and wonder what kind of hillbilly just walked through the door. Living a yeshiva lifestyle can sometimes get you accustomed to things that are not normal. So I decided that this year we're going to try to take a different route, and we will discuss points of etiquette, and it's up to a person to decide whether these are things that he wants to adopt as part of his personality, as part of his etiquette, as part of his derech eretz. And I trust that you will date long enough that the girl will see who you really are. And I hope that you will also come to being true to yourself. And either you decide these are correct points to work on, or you won't play too many games on the date. But I'm taking a very different course. I consulted with Rav Listman, and this year I decided we're taking a different course than previous years. The class will touch on where should one be, and a person has to think about it. You know, at the end of the day, every one of you is who you, whoever you are, that's who you are, and that's the girl has to marry whoever you are. But all our studies are about becoming better, about building ourselves. So then why shouldn't this include that too? So that's why we're trying a different route this year. And I pray that things go right. One of the great challenges I have in giving this class is that we come from different starting points. Other than my mother, I never spoke to a girl till the first date. So we're coming from a different place. And sometimes, I mean, spoke to a girl as in, like, I never had a girlfriend. I didn't know what it was to sit down and schmooze with a girl. I have no sisters. So I grew up in a house of all boys. I don't have a picture exactly of the world you're coming from. I've been here at Mahon Meir almost a decade, but I'm still from a different place. So during the course of the past decade, I've been getting myself an edumacation. And I'm learning. But I welcome questions because sometimes certain things that I take for granted shouldn't be taken for granted. They have to be spelled out. So we're going to start with spelling some things out. In the Orthodox world, the Torah prohibits touch between men and women. And we assume that every normal man, when he touches a woman, it is a touch of affection. And as such, the concept of negia, the prohibition of a man touching a woman other than his wife, his mother, his daughter, etc., that's a prohibition. And if a person is holding where he's not yet keeping that, then he has to realize that that's something to strive for. And if you're not yet there, then you should let the shadchan know, because you understand you can find yourself in a very uncomfortable situation when the girl yells at the top of her lungs because she's very not prepared for anything other than being shomer negia. I've set up people who are not shomer negia. I've set up people who don't keep Shabbos. If both sides are on the same page, so dating is about who you are and where you're holding now. If they would have asked me, I would have recommended you go to Machon Meir, you go to Machon Ora, learn for 2 or 3 years, discover what Orthodox Judaism is all about, and maybe you'll be looking for something else in life. But they weren't asking me. They were asking me for a date. They were asking to be set up. They were saying, this is the course I'm taking in life, and I respect that. As much as my job here in Machon Meir is to help people build their lives, once I leave this pedestal, that's it. You know, if you're asking to be set up, so then it's you where you are today that wants to be set up. But then we come to a different question. When should a person start dating? And here, we are in flux. Life is dynamic. We have our ups, we have our downs, part of life. And we had a guy here who was trying to keep Torah and mitzvos, and he had a lot of difficulties, psychological difficulties. And I remember one Shabbos, he got very mad, ran through the building, turning on lights, turning off lights, turning on lights, turning off lights, and saying, I can't handle the Shabbos anymore. The next week, he comes to me and says, I want you to set me up with a date. So I said, don't you think things have to settle down a little bit? And then, so he said to me, everyone has ups and everyone has downs. So last week I had a down. I said, I'm not judging you, but do you feel that you're stable? Do you feel that your pendulum is still swinging, or you're pretty much in at equilibrium? And he said to me, when I look back at my life, I see ups, I see down, but I see a graph going in a steady direction. And so I'm ready to date. Okay. I didn't set him up. I didn't think he was ready. But what it taught me was that a person very often has a very hard time seeing their own instabilities. So that's why it's important, if we're going to gauge where a person's holding, that we give a formula and that we also consult with other people. People that know you. It could be a Rebbe. It could be a roommate. I don't like roommates. They're nice people. But very often they're inexperienced and they give bad advice. So I prefer someone older. It could be an aunt, it could be an uncle, it could be a parent. If your parents are open enough to understanding you, even if they lead different lives, they might have a worthwhile input. I prefer a Rebbe because I hope he has enough experience and understands you well enough that he'll give you good advice. So when does one start dating? One has to be at equilibrium. What's called equilibrium? My recommendation is that you gauge it based on a few points. Number one, if we're going to define who we are composed of how we live our lives today, and there a person should look for the last 6 months. Have I been consistent? I would like to say 2 years, but no one listens to me. So I'll say 6 months. I think it's more responsible to say for 2 years. Have you been keeping Shabbos for 2 years? Have you been keeping kosher for 2 years? Have you been davening, putting on tefillin every day? Whatever your gauge is going to be, wherever you see yourself today, can you say that on the major points you've been consistent for 2 years? And whenever you look at a graph, you look at the ups and you look at the downs. So I say, how far away from your balance were your ups and downs the last 2 years? If you know that you were Mechal Shabbos once a month in the course of the last year, so then you know you still have what to work on. You're going to get married and what? That's what your house is going to look like? Honey, this Shabbos I got to see the cartoons. I'm sorry, there's a special, you know. It's been years since I saw Superman. It's like, you understand, next week I'll go to shul. Why is she going to put up with that? Imagine she tells you, Honey, this week I'm gonna we're gonna keep fidelity next week. You know, you're not gonna live with that, right? So you can't have instabilities. Meaning, marriage is based on stability, and you're hurting so many people when you have instability. I don't remember who it was. I was talking to a child this week, and he was discussing with me when we got divorced. And I stood there, it shocked me. I've had this already numerous times. Every time I hear it, it shocks me again. He didn't get divorced. His parents got divorced. But he was discussing with me. We went to Disneyland before we got divorced or after we got divorced. Instability is something that's hurtful to everyone. So we're going into this looking to build something that's going to last and going to be stable. First question is, am I stable? Am I a constant? When people come and ask me about dating, I like to ask them, when was the last time you had a low? You woke up in the morning and said, I don't want to go daven today. I don't want to keep Shabbos this Shabbos. I'm dying to see what happens in the basketball, baseball, football, I don't know, the Super Bowl, whatever all those games are. And did you stand up to that test? So I think one of the big measures of where we're holding is that question. The question of where we were on our lows. Because we said, a person is composed of, point number one, who am I? Point number two, what do I value? Has there been a dramatic shift in my values in the last 6 months, year, 2 years? I always tell the story, I got a phone call, a girl asked me to set her up. I say, very nice, who are you? I'm a Gioret. How long since you did your gear? 2-3 months. What were you doing before that? I was a Buddhist, but that I wasn't so much into it. Don't get so excited. 6 months ago, I was in a Christian monastery. It's not that I'm not a real Buddhist. It's okay. You guys are laughing. It's a real story. This is a true story. This isn't. I'm not making this up. You know, some things. Tom Clancy once said, the difference between fiction and nonfiction is that fiction has to make sense. Real phone call. And I'm looking at the phone and I'm asking myself, is this a comedy? She was dead serious. Okay, I have no issue with her. I don't know her. I never met her. But I say, and I said it to her, I said, you know, you don't know me, but I'm going to tell you a piece of advice as a friend. We're not friends, but you called me, so I'm going to tell you, I think you have to take time and find yourself. You shouldn't be going out yet. But I want to get married. And Judaism is all about building a home. Very good. Build that home. Don't destroy that home. Take the time. Find yourself. Get stable. Call me back in 2 years and we'll talk. She never called back. It's either she got married or she gave up on me. Fine. I wish her well. So he said, question number one, where am I? Where have my highs? Where have my lows been? If last week I said I'm going to be a Breslover Chassid, went out and bought myself a big Bekesher, started fasting 2 out of 3 days, so then you understand my highs were different from where I am today. That's also a concern. We've had many students walking out of here and having all kinds of highs. All kinds of highs. You got to be stable. So he said, point number one is where am I? Point number two is where are my values? Where have my values been for the last few months? Again, I would say 2 years, but I know no one's going to listen to me. So we'll say 6 months. But you got to try for more than that. Where have my values been? And what are my dreams? Where do I want to go? If my dreams keep shifting, then my goal keeps shifting. Now, I don't care if you tell me, I thought I was going to be an accountant, and now I think I'm going to be a lawyer. Fine. Assuming you can do either one, I don't consider that a major factor in who you are. I know that in the Western world, that is who you are. What do? I'm a lawyer. I hope you do more than just litigate. I hope. I hope there's more to your life. I hope you're a kind person. I hope you're a good father. I hope you're a good family man. I hope you're a good son. I hope you do a lot of things other than just being a lawyer. But I know in the Western world, when they ask you, what do? Then you're supposed to say your profession, and that's like what you do in life. But no, to my mind, that's a lesser point. I understand that it affects a lot of things, but I can see shifts in that not necessarily reflecting shifts in a person's stability. May or may not. But what are your dreams? Where do you want to go in life? And the fourth point is, what are your priorities? Okay? Those are going to be the components that we will be discussing as far as self-development. Those are the components that really help frame who we're looking for. And those are the components that we want to be stable and consistent in. Now, obviously, if you just walked into Mahon Meir today, you're thinking, I haven't yet discovered any of this. How could I be stable in that? I haven't learned it yet. Right? So then you shouldn't be dating yet. You need to take time. You need to discover yourself and build yourself. And I began with that Tosfos in Yevamos. Why did I start with that? Because I know that it's difficult. I know that when a person comes from a world where he was in a bar and he had friends in college and life was a mixed scene, and suddenly you walk into this all-male Mahon Meir, you start looking at guys around you and wonder, are they normal? They're here with only men for 365 days a year? I know that's what's going through people's minds. And it's a legitimate concern. Normal people have within them a desire to be with someone of the opposite gender. That's normal. At the same time, we're looking to build something that's going to be long-term. And you understand that in order for it to be long-term, you have to be stable. So that's point number one. Requires thought, requires introspection, requires honesty. Takes time. About 2 years ago, I got a phone call. Girl on the other end of the line, very impressive, at least to my mind. She starts rattling off. I interview her. Every question I ask, she has an organized, well-thought-out answer. At the end of the interview, I have all her information. I said, you know, you're the first girl I ever spoke to who had so many answers ready. Are you reading off of something? She said, yeah, I prepared notes. I thought through these questions. I said, that's amazing. How'd you think through all of these questions? She said, easy. I followed your class online. So I said to myself, okay, so then maybe the classes have a benefit if they help people think things through, so that when you ask a person questions like, how do you describe yourself? What are your goals in life? What are your aspirations? What are your priorities? I understand that very often you didn't, most of you haven't taken the time to ask yourself these questions. You just live in the Mahon, and through osmosis, suddenly you grow and you find yourself not shaving with a razor, and the next day you find yourself not answering the cell phone on Shabbos. Slowly you start discovering that chuckling during davening actually does something for you. Lad, I know. But dating is about more than that. Dating is about connecting two people. So part of what we're trying to do now is to discover ourselves. And sometimes it takes time. So our first point was, when should a person start dating? We said it should be out of equilibrium. You guys are men. You don't have to be pressured. And I'm going to end this segment with a word of warning. When people leave Mahon Meir, I almost always give them my blessing. Almost always. Depends on where they're going. We've had students leave us for Neturei Karta. We've had students leave us for Chabad, Satmar. We've had students leave us for the army. We've had students leave us for Beijing to go and volunteer teaching English. You remember that, or it's before your time? We've had students leave us to many directions. And I can respect a lot of things. There's one thing which I have a hard time respecting. And that's when people enter a system that pressures them to get married quickly. I often tell students when they leave, especially when they're leaving to Hasidic sects, I say, you don't have to respect me. I understand that in hindsight, you're going to learn things and you're going to think back and you might look back and say, what did he know? Fine, I respect that, and I'm not telling you to remain loyal. Fine, I wish you well wherever you go. But I'm going to give you one piece of advice that I'm telling you as a friend. I don't care where you go. Don't let them get you married quickly. I have a policy Rav Lichtman disagrees with. I say minimum 30 dates, preferable 40 dates before you get married. You need time to discover the other party.
That's a year.
No, we will discuss how often you date. If you're dating twice a week, at least. So you do the math. It's not a year.
That's good. It should be.
15 weeks. And as the pace goes up, you could hit 3 and 4 dates a week. So it's much less. But Mr. Levine, not a month goes by. Not a month. And it's been years. I don't remember a month that I didn't have someone coming to me to that office telling me, I met the girl of my dreams. She's amazing. And we're going to get married. And I say, how many times did you date? Sometimes they'll say, date? I didn't date her yet. I just saw her at a wedding. Sometimes they'll say, you're laughing. I'm serious.
I know you're serious.
Sometimes they'll say, I dated her once, sometimes twice, sometimes 4 times, sometimes 6 times. But you know what? Not a month goes by that I don't have one of the guys come and tell me they're convinced she's the girl of their dreams. And yet after another few dates, they discover not so. You don't know how many students have come back to me and told me they're pressuring me to get engaged at day 12. Should I give in or not? I said, blame me. Say you had a wicked rabbi at Machon Meir who said no less than 30. And I've had Shachaniot call me from Bnei Brak. And I've had Shachaniot call me from the girls' seminaries. And I've had rabbis call me, and I've gone down with rabbis to big Batei Orah. And you'd be surprised that the Haredi Batei Orah, the Haredi institutions backed me. Those that understand what's going on with the Chozer B'Tshuva. Person who does Tshuva needs time. It's a person who has gone through something in life. You have to know yourself. You have to know the other party. She has to understand who you are. You have to understand who she is. There's no way you're doing that in under 30 dates. So Rav Lichtman disagrees with me. There have been weddings I wouldn't go to. Because I have a hard time. You know, it's like Russian roulette. You get married after 3 dates, I don't feel like going to your wedding. I wish you well, but I don't feel like investing the time. I'd rather go put a little bit of money on the lottery. Because after 3 dates, I don't believe there's too much you could know about whether it matches or not. And I don't care if they pressured you wherever you went to get engaged after 3 or 5 dates, because at the end of the day, some say, sometimes it's the girl's side, and sometimes it's an organization you'll go to. There are places that have a philosophy that the best thing they can do to a Chozer B'Tshuva is get him married quickly. There, you lock the key, he's going to be an Orthodox Jew. I think that's wrong. To be discussed, I still believe you need to take your time. Right?
Yeah, I know somebody who got married, my first father being religious, like, he got married after moving the boat. We got 3 weeks, 2 kids later, divorced.
Oh, so we've had quite a few divorces here at Mahon Meir. And I'm looking for your best interest. And I can respect the guy that chooses other ways of life. But I can't respect when a guy makes a move that affects so many people and he does it irresponsibly. And to my mind, the fact that different organizations are going to pressure a person to close the deal more quickly, that's not responsible. And that's something which I ask all the guys, you leave here, we wish you well. Part of wishing you well is wishing you that you build a good home and take your time. You don't want to go 30 dates, go Rav Lichtman's 20 dates. I don't know what number he says. But that's his responsibility, not mine. I didn't say it. I don't agree with less than 30. But that we will discuss as we go through it.
Well, it's a responsibility of one dating.
Oh, fine, but sometimes a person doesn't know. It's very hard. When a person's dating, you haven't, if you don't grow up in a normal setting, it's very hard for you to gauge what is the norm and what isn't the norm. And I've had girls call me up and say to me, this isn't Tzanua. He wants me to be his girlfriend just because of you, Rabbi. And I say, no, don't be his girlfriend. I'm not telling you to chat on the phone every night. I'm not telling you to make his friend your friend on Facebook. And I'm not telling you to Skype. I'm telling you to date. Have tzanua dates, but take the time to know one another.
No girlfriend, just
date. We're not looking for a girlfriend. We're looking to build a true relationship.
Yeah, but this isn't Vegas.
Yeah.
Given the time frame you're looking at, if you're looking to have, let's say, between 30 and 40 dates, twice a week, what would be the issue with Skyping if that's still...
To be discussed. Okay. We'll discuss Skyping and phone and all that. We'll get there. Yes?
You're saying 30 or 40 dates. I've never hit that number, so I have no clue. But I didn't find that... I mean, I can guess that if it's the right girl, you have a good time whatever you're doing. And personally, I'd love to find a girl that for 30, 40 days, you can every time just go sit on a bench and talk. And that'll be good by me. But what do you do for those 30, 40 days? How many coffee shops can you go to and how many benches can you sit on? Does it grow old? Yeah. Is that a bad sign? Yeah. Is that it's starting to grow old? Does that mean that's not the right girl for you and you should move on? Like...
To be discussed. We'll get there. We're jumping ahead of ourselves. We'll get there. How many times have we met, Larry? I don't get tired of it. We've met way more than 40 times. So, no. You see that with your friends, you don't get tired of it. No. There's no reason for that. Right? We'll get to that. The evolvement of the dating. Meaning, what's discussed in the first dates, later dates, as we move on. We'll get there. Yes. Any other questions? Yes.
I would assume that if you're talking about that many dates, the idea is to have a few not so good dates because you're going to have times with that person that you're not going to see eye to eye. And how do you fix it? What do you do to get things back on track? So it's also important to see the person.
I would word it a little differently. I don't think that 40 dates should cause you not to see eye to eye. I think that 40 dates will mean that sometimes you have dates that are more exciting and less exciting, and that's part of the dating process. If the 40 dates reveal to you what you don't see eye to eye on, then I feel the 40 dates were a success, because you want to know what you don't see eye to eye on. But what will happen is you'll have a great date, and then coming off of that, you'll expect that the next date, well, if that was great, then this one should at least be as great as that, and it doesn't work that way. You don't hit a home run every time. And even though the next date is decent, it's okay, you suddenly feel a letdown. Hey, last time was so great, how come this time's like, okay? And that's going to happen. And we'll also discuss that you reach a point where it's either a leap forward or a bust. It's not you can't pull this out for too long, because at some point you have no place left to move forward. The only place to go is either get engaged or break up. But you have that window of opportunity for engagement, which if you don't take it, then afterwards, then you do get tired of one another because you're missing that capacity to move forward in the relationship. Once you're married, you can move forward in the relationship. Before marriage, you're dating and you're not moving forward. You're treading water. How long can you do that? So you do reach that point. I don't think you should reach that point before 40 dates. Don't think so. Yeah.
It's very, like, I noticed for some people, like, I think this is the case for me.